The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 13th day of July 2022. And we have, like we always say, we are the voice of the Christian resistance. And we have a lot to do tonight. And so I just wanted to say, tonight we have, like we have lately, a lot on the board. None other than Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
And we have that longtime Bible teacher and preacher, none other than Pastor Joe Larson.
Well, glad to be back with you, boss. Ready to go to work.
We've got a lot to cover tonight, so we got to jump right into it. Remember, the title of the message was, We Have Come Full Circle from Genesis 6. And in Genesis 6, Joe, he was talking about that prior to the flood, the world, the earth was filled with violence. And now,
violence and evil.
And that violence came not just from friends and neighbors, but from often from within the family. In fact, you find out that a major part of killings in this country, domestic. And so the Lord Jesus spoke to that. He spoke to it in Luke, over in Luke chapter 13, in fact. And so why don't you read verses 49 through 53?
That's in Luke 12.
Oh, is it Luke 12? Oh, you're right, it is.
Yep. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth, I tell you nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law.
Okay, well, and, the Lord, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. You had a couple more you wanted me to read, right?
Yeah.
Stop there.
No, I thought that was the last verse because I know the last verse ends the same way, but go ahead and read the last verse.
And he said also unto the people, when ye see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say, there cometh a shower, and so it is.
All right, you can stop there. Let's go back here. And so what he was talking about, when he was saying here, I've come to send fire on the earth, and what will I do if I already kindled, but I have a baptism to be baptized with. And here, that baptism that it was referring to, do you know what that baptism was?
Fire is judgment.
Well, that baptism actually was his crucifixion, his coming crucifixion, yeah. And he was dreading. See, he understood the physical pain that was going to be there. Remember, he had to He had to suffer this, not in his glorified body, but he had to suffer it in the human body.
Right.
And he was dreading that physical pain because only...
In his glorified body, he could not have been crucified. He could not have been harmed. There would have been no suffering, no death.
There was an extreme pain from, one, the physical pain of the crucifixion. Two, the pain of having the sins of the world, past, present, and future, put on him. Now, again, this is something that's far, far beyond our comprehension. We can't even begin to go there. But then the third point was, too, it was the pain of even for a short period being separated from the Father.
Father.
And so...
Separation, yeah. But we know, we've talked about this before, emotional pain. You ask any parent that's lost a child. You ask anyone that's lost a spouse, had lost someone violently in an accident, a murder. The emotional pain is far greater than any physical pain people suffer. And Jesus took on that sinless, spotless soul of his, all of the ugly, backstabbing, adulterous, deceitful, stealing, all the things you can think of, those horrible things alone, let alone the murders and the rapes and the mayhem and all that. And he had to take all the lies and the deceit of the world on that spotless soul, and that mental anguish. Is, like you said, is totally beyond our comprehension.
It is. It's far beyond our comprehension. We can't even begin to go there. Okay, that is in a realm that only the Lord Jesus Himself could relate to. Now, here, Joe, he goes on to say, suppose you that I am come to give peace on the earth, I tell you, nay, but rather division. Now, there are those that will say, well, wait a minute, I'm confused now, okay? Mm-hmm. In one passage, he says, that in me, I will give you that peace, you know, that you can pass as all understanding, and give me your burden, and I can bear your burden, so on and so forth. But now he's saying, wait a minute here, I tell you, nay, but rather division. From henceforth there shall be five in one house divided against three, and two against the three. Now, so he's talking about the division that's going to come within the families. And of course, we're talking about our physical family here, our siblings and our parents, so on and so forth, and relatives. And so... But there's a specific reason that division would come. And what do you think that reason is?
That division comes with the end time, with the falling away. As the family breaks up, then the family, you know, all the evil that comes starts. That was God's first unit of government, was the family. And when everything starts to deteriorate, that has to be one of the first to be destroyed.
Well, there's more. It's more specifically, God recognizes two kinds of people. Two kinds. He recognized them. Two kinds of people.
Saved and the unsaved.
That's exactly right. Now, he tells you all the way back in Genesis 3:15 that there's going to be constant warfare between the saved and the unsaved, huh?
Right.
And so, do you know anyone who has a family that in that family, whether it's, you know, the immediate siblings or cousins or whatever, where there's not a division because of that reason? For those that have loved the Lord, I know in my own family, my own relatives, and about everybody I know, there is that division between those that are saved,
right,
and those that are not.
Somewhere there is that division, yes.
And so...
And it's gotten worse. It used to be the family held it together, and the children were brought up in the church, and we've seen in our lifetime this great falling away. And the world is so different than when you and I were in school, in grade school. In our town, everybody was in church just about on Sunday. The whole neighborhood was, you could see them going off to church. And now in that same town back there, people I know tell me, you know, almost nobody's going to church.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. I remember exactly what you said. You know where everybody would be Sunday morning. And
The kids would be there. You had a neighborhood church. The family would walk to church. And often the kids would go to Sunday school early, and Mom and Dad would walk over later for services, and the kids would go sit through the service after having their Sunday school, and it was so common. It was uncommon for anybody not to go to church.
Well, but nowadays there's an additional reason, incentive for more division in the families, and there's a reason that that women, we've had several who have called me crying and telling me that they're denied seeing their grandchildren by their adult children because they won't take the kill shot.
Right.
And I've had several tell me that and the men usually, old grandpa, he gets so upset with this, he don't want to talk about it. He is furious. He doesn't even want to talk about it. But the women usually end up crying. And so that's an additional cause for division today, is that kill shot.
The public pool system. We were saying the pledge. We had a morning prayer, said the pledge. God was welcome in school. And after God was asked to leave and told that he wasn't allowed in the public school, full classroom, our world started falling apart back in the 80s, late 70s and 80s, and it has gone down swiftly and in a continual decline ever since God was told to leave and take your
from life. The very day of 1962, that was in 19, I remember the day very clearly, from that very day, the United States at that time, we had the, academically, we were number one in the whole world. Number one in the whole world.
Number one world.
From that very day when God, when they expelled God, the door was left open, and the God of the Democrats came in.
Amen. And, but at first it was one thing, and then they took out any Bible reading. They slowly took out from that 60s through the until about 80 every aspect. You know, there were some things you could still do in the 70s, and then they cleaned everything out.
Well, today they've gotten it's crossed over into total depravity. The NEA, the teachers union, you know, with this critical race theory and the transgender, I mean, in many of the public schools now using taxpayers' money to bring in drag queens. They've gone, the public school system has gone completely and totally degenerate. And
oh, it's worse than that. The ACLU, the NEA, are now pushing transgender operations, and they say K-12 school guide, children are never too young for sex change surgery. This is a guide that's now being put out by these woke. The guide is called Schools in Transition, a guide for supporting transgender students in K-12 schools. The guide is authored by the ACLU, the National Education Association, and the Human Rights Campaign, and the National Center for Lesbian Rights. And the guide claims that parents and teachers should never be discouraged by a child's age when urging them to go under the knife for gender reassignment surgery. My, how things have changed.
Right, we have. I have a number of articles here on those people that have had that change, so-called, and they regret it, and they're going around now begging people not to, not to do that. In fact, I was just looking for one of those articles since you brought that up. Maybe we'll find one later here on the radio program, but there's a number of them that now are going around begging people, do not do it, do not do that. You're going to regret it. It doesn't. And a lot of times there's really bad.
Time. I've got two or three of them right here. So
well, go ahead. Go ahead with it.
Okay, one of them was titled Richie Herron. My first thought as I came around was, oh, God, what have I done? He was 35, and he said life is unbearable since his surgery 4 years ago. And now he says it takes him 10 minutes to empty his bladder. It's painful. It's slow. His sex drive is gone. His crotch is numb. And he is shell-shocked from the damage from his surgery. He was castrated. But what it turns out, to make a very long story short, even as a young child, he came in, was, you know, confused, wanting help. And the only help he got was everybody pushed him to transition. Oh, you want to be a girl, that's your problem. No, the problem turned out he had same-sex attractions. And he went through years of therapy, and all the professionals convinced him that he wanted to really be a girl. That was what his problem was. And he said never once during several years of psychology, of therapy, did anybody ever address his real problem. And now he's written a huge, long article, and he'd been referred to psychologists who never dissuaded him from the notion of his gender dysphoria. His nothing but complaint, he said, it was pushed on him by everyone. And now he says, taking him a couple of years, and now he is trying to warn everyone out there, do not let it happen to you. Do not let it happen to your children. Another one, Chloe, was 12 years old when she decided to transgender. And later on, at 13, she came out. And at 15, she underwent a double mastectomy. Less than a year later, she realized she made a mistake. All this happened by the time she was 16. Chloe, 17, is one of a growing cohort called detransitioners who seek to reverse a gender transition, realizing that they actually do identify with their own sex. Many of these people were just confused, normal, confused teenagers, but the whole world was busy jumping on them, telling them, oh, you need to transgender. And we've done reports in the past, Pastor Ernie, where we've had doctors come and say, hey, most of these children, it's like 90, 95% of them, if you leave them alone, by the time they get through high school, they figured out they were confused or they had a opposite sex attraction, something, they had been abused as a child, whatever, but almost all of them come to the conclusion they're fine with what they are if they're left alone.
All right, Joe.
The secret is there's an industry making huge amounts of money transitioning these children, giving them drugs and surgeries. It's about money, 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 money.
Well, you know, it's also, this is the Antichrist world system.
Well, yeah.
This is, now, I mean, we are living in what the Bible calls the evil day, the day of sorrows. But now, here's an article here. Now, the Washington, the governor of the state of Washington, and they have gone again completely depraved. It's an amazing thing here. Washington school board director to host gender classes for kids aged 9 through 12, and they're doing it in an adult toy shop, you know, where they sell sex toys, okay?
Right.
A Washington woman who runs a sex shop wants to bring kids into her store for a day of learning. Jen Mason, who is also the director of the Billingham School Board, is offering what she called the Encringe Academy at her sex shop. Okay, now this is a very unclean woman. I mean, like really unclean. And she goes and, you know, a lot of times people... Where do I get this, Joe? Tell me, where do I get this thing where we refer to these women as unclean. Where does that come from?
The scripture. God calls them unclean.
Okay, he refers to them as the unclean. And now here it says that this other sex shop called Wink Wink, and the two age groups targeted, one class will be for kids 9 to 12, the other for 13 to 17, you know, according to KTTH AM radio. The class will have a nuggets on sexual anatomy for pleasure, kinds of solo and partnered sexual activities, and gender and sexual identities. Now, let me ask you this. If you were a parent and you left your child in that school, would that show that you care about your child at all?
To me, it would show that you didn't care at all about your child, or you were so darn brainwashed by the garbage out there that you think you're actually trying to help your child if you're that stupid. So you either hate your child or you're very, very, very stupid. And I just can't see a parent not wanting to know everything before they make huge decisions like that for children.
So, Joe, when you have a known pedophile in the Oval Office, a known pedophile that forced his young daughter and teenage daughter to take showers with him, here's what you end up with. Department of Energy employee alleges gender-fluid drag queen into kink and pups did not meet qualifications to be deputy secretary in Nuclear Energy Department. Sam Brington, a grander queer, is referred to as a grander queer drag queen. Is that 12? There you go. That's right. Gender queer drag queen into BDSM and a prominent sodomite rights activist. Of course, this is the type of person that was appointed by the pedophile in the White House to oversee the U.S. nuclear power plants. This is unbelievable what America has degenerated to. Unbelievable.
Right.
Okay. And Sam Brighton will be the deputy assistant secretary, spent fuel and waste at this position in the Energy Department's Office of Nuclear Energy. All right. We're coming up to a break. Before we go to that break, I want to just again announce that, Lord's willing, I've been invited by we the people to be at Mulligan's Restaurant tomorrow evening at 4118 Belden Village Street Northwest, and it starts at 7:30. If you want to eat, come on out at those that are going to be dining at 6:30. And again, that's tomorrow in Canton, Ohio, at Mulligan's Restaurant at 4118 Belden Village Street Northwest. And the theme is, where do we go from here? We're going to be talking about, and after I speak, we'll do some question and answer too. We're going to be talking about how do we deal with the situation in which we live. So we're going to a break, and we'll be right back with a whole lot more. Don't go away.
Israel, rise from your slumber, and the truth shall set you free. From out of Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. From out of Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. Thou art my chosen, for I have called thee. Thou art graven on my hand, and I will gather all those who gather. They will possess their land. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. From out of Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. Out from the furnace, out of affliction, I have chosen thee, behold. And for your iron, I'll give you silver. Your breast, I'll give you gold. Awake, America,
awake, America.
Rise from your slumber,
rise from your slumber.
And the truth shall set you free.
Hosanna.
From out of Zion,
hallelujah,
comes your Redeemer,
hallelujah,
in the year of
Jubilee.
In the year of Jubilee.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, way, hallelujah, hallelujah, way, hallelujah, hallelujah, way, hallelujah, way.
All righty, we are back. And, you know, Joe, one of the biggest problems out there today is the theft of people's property. And, you know, today we see it so prominent that people go, well, they go judge shopping. And we see the corruption today in the courts, and especially amongst the George Soros bought and paid for prosecutors, attorney generals, you know, which, as the Bible talks about, going a-whoring, they've gone a-whoring. And that's exactly what it is, it's whoring.
Right.
But anyhow,
yeah, the government, too, always taking to the liberal courts anything. They just shop the entire court district, let alone judges.
We don't have a legitimate Justice Department. They're no longer an independent Department of Justice. They simply now are a branch of the Democratic Party. But and the corruption is exactly, the corruption is exactly the way it said it would be in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And so tonight we have with us here Marie Willing and her attorney, Fritz Neal. And Marie is going to tell her story because she's become a victim of such property theft. So, Marie, are you there?
Yes, I am. My attorney is going to be introducing us and just giving the lowdown of what's going on, and then I'm going to jump in. Is that okay?
That'd be fine. So, Fritz, go right ahead.
Yes, thank you very much. Well, this is a very complicated and ongoing situation, but I'm going to try to make it as simple as possible. My client, Maria Walling's father, died on February 8th, 2020, and supposedly left a will that gave his property to a woman that he was just friends with, no family relationship, and left out his daughter entirely, who was living in the house. His daughter and he had a very strong relationship, and he had been telling her and other friends for a number of years that he would be giving the house and property where she was living and had been living for quite some time with her two children to her. But a will was probated in March of 2020. A supposed will was probated in March of 2020 by this companion, I put that in quotation marks, of her father, whose name was Rodney Shelton. And the will supposedly left everything to her and nothing to Maria or her two children. And Maria simply didn't believe that that could be possible. So she went out and found a number of people, and we have introduced statements by those people, seven or eight people, family, friends, who have written statements saying that her father intended to give the house and property to her. And now this woman, this quote-unquote friend, has filed an eviction case and filed a document that in which she intends to have my client, Maria Walling, and her two children evicted, kicked out of the house by next Tuesday. And we are making every effort possible through the court system to stop that. But frankly, we need help. And I think Maria would say the same thing. It's a completely unjust situation. Maria is a wonderful mother to her two children, and they would tell you that too. And her father intended for her to keep this property for herself and her children's children. And this so-called friend is trying to get the property away from her, even though she's not even planning to live in it. She has her own property in the Dayton area. So that's what's going on. And as I said, I think we could use some help from your callers.
Can we give you?
What's
can
that?
You, what kind of help can we give you? How can we help you?
That's a good question. If you know anybody who perhaps has been in a similar situation and what they did, that would be helpful.
Well, we've done a number of programs.
I've been a lawyer for some 35 years, but I have to admit that this is the first type of case, this type of case that I've ever handled. So, and, you know, I obviously have done my best to make every argument possible to, you know, keep this property in Maria's family name. But, you know, we can certainly use some help.
Well, let me ask you this.
Has the document been checked out for its authenticity?
Yes, it has. That's right. That's something that I forgot to tell you. Maria very smartly went to a found a handwriting expert who has some of the best qualifications I've ever seen, who looked at the handwriting on the will and determined that it was not her father's handwriting, that it was someone else's handwriting in the family who had passed away, who had previously stolen money from her father. And he is, we have retained him as an expert witness in this case. But in the short term, we want to keep Maria in the house and her children in the house and not, you know, put out on the street.
Ah, uh-huh. You could eventually bring this into a court trial, but what you're trying to do is stay the eviction order long enough to get the proof in front of a judge. Is that the problem?
Correct.
Exactly. Hmm. Yeah, no, there are actually two or three different lawsuits involved to try to, you know, stop this from happening. But the attorney on the other side doesn't seem to care that even though the woman who wants to evict Maria doesn't even care about this property, isn't even planning on living there, he doesn't see any problem with that. So
just wants the money, yeah.
So what? Well, who is this so-called attorney that could care less about having a family thrown out in the street?
Do you want me to give his name?
Yeah, I would. I mean, he should be known. People should know who he is. And
well,
that way,
his name is David Riehl, R-I-E-H-L.
And where does he practice it?
In Brunswick, Ohio, which is where Maria lives and where her house is located.
All right. Well, you know, I would. I can't believe, well, yes, I can. Nowadays, with things, the way things are happening right now, you know, what's happening? I know you're a lawyer. And, you know, the Lord Jesus said three times, woe unto your lawyers, woe unto your lawyers, woe unto your lawyers. when you get three woes from the Lord, that's not good. And we have really seen, I've never seen such as in the last few years. I mean, it's with Obama, or even going back to Clinton's, you started seeing, lawyers have never been actually the most honest people. I remember having one tell me, we had a death row ministry for 45 years, and the night before the inmate was to be, by the way, this man was innocent. He never committed those crimes. He was executed. His lawyer is sitting right there next to me and concocts a great big lie, to tell the governor to try to stop the execution. And so he looks at me and he asks me, he said, is it ever right to lie? Is the Bible tell you, is it ever? And I said, no, it's never right to lie. This woman exploded on me. She screamed, and she says, we're paid to lie for you. And I told her, no, you're not paid to lie for me. And we see, like, a degeneracy in the legal class now. There are a lot of good lawyers out there. I have friends that are good, godly Christian people.
Yes, I wanted to defend my profession here a little bit. I agree with you. There are good lawyers and there are bad lawyers, and I hope I'm one of the good ones. But yes, there are many bad lawyers that I have encountered over my career, for sure.
Well, my point is, Fritz, it just seems like there's been a huge surge in the corruption, and we've seen that in the courtrooms. We've seen that especially in the courtrooms. And where people are going judge shopping nowadays, where, it's a lot worse than it has been in the past. And, of course, that's in all of society. And, you're talking about your profession. Let me tell you something. Okay, there's never been more corruption than there is in my profession, the apostate church. That is where judgment begins in the house of God. And I'm going to tell you, that's where judgment will end. It's going to end there, too. But anyhow, so can we help her? Should we show up in court? We have courtroom observers that often will go, and we'll pack a courtroom when we know there's something as dirty as up, and we smell a corrupt case, and boy, we've had a lot of those. We will pack the courtroom with just observers, and on several occasions, we've had people that where they've stopped. They've stopped the hearing, they've stopped the court, because they didn't know who all these people out there were that came to the courtroom, and there was corruption underhand, and they didn't want to get caught doing that. And so,
I said earlier that I was just going to turn it over to Maria, and I'm sorry I haven't done that yet. But Maria would be a good question, good person to answer that question because, you know, she knows. I live a few miles away from her community, but she knows her community quite well, and so I would have her answer that question.
Well, first, I have one legal question. If this were the eviction were to be done, and later you can prove that the document is false, is there a recourse to go after the attorney as well as his client for fraud? Can that be done?
Well, we already have a fraud case pending in the court. The immediate problem, like I was saying before, is the eviction.
Right, because we're
nowhere near.
It hasn't.
We're nowhere near getting to a trial. I'm sorry, we're nowhere near getting to a trial on the fraud issue. So what we're worried about is keeping Maria and her kids off the streets in the meanwhile.
Right, gotcha.
And,
but
hold on.
The attorney is not afraid, then, of the lawsuit, apparently.
No, he's not.
He's very, I would call him very arrogant. And he deposed Maria yesterday, and he was... You know, he treated her very, very poorly, to say the least. So that's actually another issue that we're going to be getting into. But, the first issue, of course, is, keeping her in her house and property and her children.
Gotcha.
All right, Maria, who is this woman? Who is this woman that is trying to fraudulently steal your property?
Her name is Martha Jane Taylor. She lives in Dayton in my dad's other house.
Okay. And she in the other house now. Whose house is that? Whose name is that house in?
Well, we discovered when they moved from Kentucky, because she needed a place to stay, and moved to Dayton because of medical reasons and it's closer by the hospital. My dad said, I bought a house. We're going to be living there, and it will be closer to you guys, and she'll be closer to her kids. And my dad told me that this is his house, and he doesn't want to move back home here because it reminds him too much of my mother that passed away. So we found out that she took the money and she put the house in her name because her daughter, Debbie Blasek, sold her the house and undermined my dad when he was still living and put it in her name. She knew what she was doing across the board. We found all this evidence out, what she did.
Maria, if I should interrupt. The big point, the main point is, though, this woman has a place to live that she owns free and clear. You know, it's not like she has any need for the house in Brunswick that Maria and her children live in.
Right, and she even stated, when my lawyer deposed her, she stated that she doesn't care about the house here in Brunswick. She just cares about the money, and that is so wrong because my mom and dad's wishes were to keep us to keep the house, and if I had any more kids, then they would be raised here. They wanted to keep this house in the family.
Well, let me ask you this, Debbie. How can we help you? I mean, this is going to court. Let's just say, will it be in court next Tuesday, or are they simply going to try to evict you on Tuesday?
Well, I'm in the process of completing. I'm sorry, Maria. Excuse me. I'm in the process of completing a motion to stay that proceeding. In other words, to not let it continue, which I plan to file with the court, Medina Municipal Court, as well as the Medina County Common Pleas Court. It's very complicated legally, and I won't get into that. But what I think you can do, and you touched on this earlier, is have people show up at the hearings in this case and have people notify the judges of, you know, that they think that this is wrong.
All right.
I think that would be a very helpful thing to do.
All right, and so let me write the – I want to get the address or the courtroom and write this down. Where is the courtroom that this is going to take place on next Tuesday, with the time and the address? Where would it be?
A sec here. It's the Medina Municipal Court, which is in downtown Medina. Maria, do you have the exact address there?
Yeah, hold on, please. It is 135 North Elmwood Avenue, Medina, Ohio.
North Elmwood. Elmwood.
E-L-M-W-O-O.
Yeah, Avenue. Yeah.
Got it.
In Medina. Okay. Okay.
So actually, it's not next Tuesday. It's the bailiff sent us a writ of restitution. And they said that we have to be out by 2:00 on Monday. Otherwise, they're going to send the sheriff over.
The terminology here is, in order to actually evict a person, you have to file a writ of restitution first, which the lawyer has filed. And after that, the bailiff for the court then tells, you know, in this case, Maria Walling, when he is going to come over to the house and, you know, evict her and take all of her stuff out. And so our plan is to file a motion to stay the eviction proceedings, which I plan to file by the end of the day tomorrow. And it will depend on what the court. I'm sorry?
When do you need the people there? Tomorrow?
I don't know exactly. It depends on when I complete this. And it's like, you know, this is all happening as we're speaking, as we're going on. And I don't know if the court is going to hold a hearing even after, you know, we file this motion for a stay. So would it be okay if we got back to you tomorrow on that?
No, it sure would. Why don't you do that? Because, you know, we want to help you, but we got to know how we can help you.
Yeah.
And yes. Like I said, in the past, we've had complete cases dropped where dismissed, boom, where they've just dismissed the case because they didn't know who all of the people were in the courtroom, and they knew what they were doing was the wrong thing. And so they just dismissed the case and cleared the court. And so we'll help you here on this, because I totally believe you, because also of a good friend of yours that I know very well and has convinced me that you're telling me 100% of the truth. So I will be, you know, we're out here to help you. And, you know, we've done this for a lot of people where they're stealing their property. We had cases on here, Fritz, where some of these guardian ad litem had as many as 50 people where the courts had taken off the real guardians, dismissed them, and placed their own people as guardian ad litem. And and you probably heard of, remember that Casey Kasem, who used to be, he was a very we had his daughter. Yeah, we had his daughter here on the radio program. They did that to her, where Casey had this young girlfriend who managed to move in, I guess they got married, and she kept his own family from seeing him, virtually kind of locked him in the house and kept his own family so that she could get all of his property.
And I remember that case, yes.
Well, we had his daughter here because of that. When his daughter went to finally see him in the hospital, the police physically removed her. And so they started their organization, and their organization helps people who are having their property stolen by people that have gone judge shopping or prosecutor shopping. So we went after some in Pennsylvania where we were taking people's property in the nursing homes. It was a real racket. Well, John Holman, who just passed away, went home to be with the Lord. He got involved, him and John McTernan, in investigating these. And we just went after. I just called to talk to some of these prosecutors and judges. And, I mean, just the fact that they knew that we were investigating them, they went into a real panic. I had a police chief that I thought was going to have a nervous breakdown. And so, go ahead.
Everything that you suggested would be great, would be fabulous. And let me give you the name of the judge. It's
okay.
Judge Gary Werner, Werner. And Maria, can you give him the name of the bailiff who sent you that whatever it was a few days ago, telling you that he would be coming over to evict you next Monday or Tuesday?
Yeah, his... Hold on one second. Can I say something first?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
I have a daughter. She's 12 years old, and Jane knows this. And then I have a son who was hazed in the Army, and he's medically discharged, and he's 25. And so she knows all this, and she has nothing to do with my family. Her other kids don't have anything to do with my family. And so she's just doing this for greed, because she tried to pull the plug on my dad when he was in the hospital. I don't want to get into that, but she's been her method and her protocols were right on task with what she was trying to do, because she, like you said, she kept my dad, you know, away from us, only came when it was at nighttime, did not come during the day, so you know, things can happen and move forward with, you know, signing everything over to me. She would always complain that my dad couldn't drive alone. So, you know, she always prevented my dad from coming. But you ask what they can do for me and what they could do for me and my family is prayer and any suggestions. You know, if you are involved with a case or you know anyone else that is like has a similar case,
already
can offer some kind of, you know.
Well, right, Maria, we are out of time. We're coming right up to the break. But listen, you guys get back with me and tell me what we need to do, and we will do what we can to help you out as far as packing the court if we have to. And if you give me some phone numbers, I'll be glad to call and talk to this judge and this bailiff, Just ask him some questions.
Your name on the prayer list tomorrow for the prayer breakfast, right?
We will do that. Okay. We will absolutely do that. Maria Welling will put you on the list. We're out of time, so thanks for being here, Fritz.
Can I give you the bailiff's name?
Yeah. Nope, you can't. We're out of time. We will be back right after this.
Okay.
Well, don't go away.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.